Have you seen it? Have you touched it? And have you felt it? If you don't see it, if you don't touch it, if you don't feel it, you don't get it. So do you see the love coming down today in your heart? Do you know that love's come down for you? Have you seen that? In verse 4 it says, and there was a great darkness, but the darkness could not put out the light. That's a great claim, isn't it? The Word was God, God in readiness from day one. Everything was created through Him. Nothing, not one thing, came into being without Him. Not one thing came into being without Him. This great creative God came and descended. All he's ever known to do is to create. That's intrinsic in his nature, is to create. And what came into existence was life. And the life was the light to live by. And the life was the light to live by. And the life blazed out of the darkness, and the darkness could not put it out. There is just so much darkness at the moment. But there is a lifelight inside of you and I that cannot be put out. No darkness can put it out. No fear can put it out. Because love overcomes fear. And if you're experiencing fear in your heart, in areas of your life, there is one remedy and one remedy only, and the answer is love. And the answer is the love of the Father overcoming the fear in your heart. Or am I the only one that ever gets scared or in this room? And I today feel to call you back to some really simple things today. Where we go, we have a choice of how we behave, how we interact with this planet, with the way we treat this planet, the way we treat our environment, with the way we treat humanity. We have a choice. And the choice comes down to some very, very simple things. In many ways, it's quite polarized. It comes down to, are we going to bring life? Or are we going to bring death? Or are we going to bring light? Or are we going to bring darkness? So in the way that I attempt to be a father, in my comments, in the way I frame my words, and in my behaviours, am I going to bring life to my daughter or death to my daughter in the sarcastic comments I might make or in the life-empowering comments I might make? Am I going to encourage and extol and bring life? Or am I going to criticize and bring death and darkness? What am I going to bring? Life or death? And the amazing thing is that for all of us in this room who know God, who've had that thing of allowing Him to come in and transform us, we understand that the basic ability to do this has virtually nothing to do with us at all. But it's to do with the fact that the life light has come inside of us. I've just started reading Galatians again fresh this week. And it's really interesting that at the beginning of it, Paul is being almost harangued by the disciples about what he's doing. And he talks a lot about the battle between him and Peter and how Peter wants to push him back under law again and under circumcision again, which was the ritual of the day that made it acceptable for you to be a religious person in simple terms. And he talks about how he confronts Peter and how he takes Peter on and how he says, have you so quickly forgotten the freedom I've given you? Have you so quickly forgotten the very, very thing that I've given you? And guys, this is what I've given you. I have given you the Holy Spirit that you might do miraculous things. And I think sometimes we take that and we box it too narrowly. And as much as I love and adore and want to see people healed, physically their bodies changed and touched, I want to see their emotions touched as well. I want to see their workplaces touched as well. I want to see miracles in their streets. I want to see miracles in their schools. And it's really interesting, later on in Galatians, they say to him, okay, buddy, go, 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 but please do not neglect the poor. And John and Christy and I were together for breakfast on Friday, and I turned around to him, and I prophesied over him. And I said, Christian, there's something I see happening in us as a community at the moment, which is this. I believe that one of the places we're now going to see a touch in our community is amongst the poor. And I said, I think you need to be going over to Slough a lot more and praying in places where you know there is poverty in our midst and actually bringing the miraculous. Because they need it. Because that's what being a lifelighter is like. And for you that stood today as financial people, I want you to understand that where you go, you bring life and you bring light. And so often your gift of what you do has not been recognized enough in the body of Christ or honored enough, which is why I wanted to honor you today. And what that word was about was honoring you today. Because there are certain gifts and things that we do that we don't kind of value in quite the same way. Still, if we're honest. So God wants to do something miraculous in our finances. He wants to bring life into our finances. Sandra and I have been through a year where we have been through one of the most difficult financial periods of our lives. On paper, we have lost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of pounds. It's pushed us right to the wire. I tell you, in darkness, there is light. That's what I've learned. In darkness, there is light. And often the light comes from friends. One candle is one candle. 1,000 candles is a mighty good light. And there's something about us rediscovering at this point in time what it means to stand together and to hold up for things together and to hold up for values together and to fight together. There's something around that at the moment that is really, really important to us as a community. There's something around us standing up and being counted in this season which is really important. There's something about it's not your little light in your corner over there and my little light in my corner over there, but it's something about our lights coming together in this season is very, very important. One of the most beautiful things that's happened this morning as I've walked around is I've seen person after person praying and ministering to individuals this morning. It's been amazing. I counted. There's been about 20 people I've been seeing being personally prayed for this morning. That's wonderful. That's life light time. And we want to see more and more of that, of us actually exchanging life together and exchanging light together and going around and lighting each other's candles and inspiring each other. In December, I walked, some of you know this story, in December I walked around a school, a failing school, which has come a long way, but it's still got an awfully long way to go. And Andy is the bursar of that school, and she's in the main congregation. And back in December, I had virtually no work on at all, so you could have hired me for 50p a day. So she said, can you come and help me with this school? And we need this, 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 and this, and this doing for it. And, you know, this is the budget we've got. And this, and this did not add up to this budget. It just, no way, Jose. So I thought, oh, well, nothing else to do today, so I'll go there. So I walked around the school and I said, look, honest conversation, you know. Let's not talk commercial rate. Just give me the fixed fee. She gave me the fixed fee, and I thought, okay. and then just... I said, okay, well, I'll do it. Let's start walking. So we walked in his room, And I just said, okay, what you do is you move that wall over there, you do that here, you put that window in there, you move that to there, you do this here, and you put a celebration space in there, and that's where the kids are going to gather. And as I'm doing it, I'm thinking, oh my God, I'm prophesying. And I said, and the kids are going to start celebrating in this space here, and I see drawings and art coming to this space over here. And then we're going to go over here. No, 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 no. I said, just take that wall down. It won't cost you very much. And that will create three classrooms for you. And I sat back, I thought, cool, that was quite good. And I realized it was the Holy Spirit on me. And as we went out, it was quite a cold day, and we walked around, I said to her, lady, you are going to light a fire in this place. Something is happening in this place. I tell you, something is happening in this place. I just know it. I said, and you and I are going to light a fire together. And the very next thing that happened was a problem. And even this measly little design fee was just not getting approved. And I thought, I can't believe it. I can't even land this. It's so pathetic. What am I doing at this point in my career, picking colours for classrooms? What am I doing? And all that was going through my head, and all that sense of failure, and all that sense of confusion. Why am I here? What am I doing? This is just ridiculous. This will not pay the bills. She goes away. She receives the word. She puts a grant into local council and gets £500,000. Come on. £500,000. So we, together as a team, are refurbishing this creative arts, surprise, surprise, an ICT, that is a surprise for me, block. That bit I'm going to delegate out, I think. So then what happens is, I'm going to meet with the head teacher to kind of sell the vision. And so he says to me, just explain to me what you want to do. So I said, well, basically, I want to light a beacon, I want to light a fire in your school, that's what I want to do. So he says, what do you mean by that? I said, I just want the children to have something to lift their eyes up to that will build them. I want to go and light a fire in your school, if that's okay. And this is how I'm going to light the fire. These are the rooms, these are the environments, these are the things that are going to change the fabric and nature of this school. Tangible things. Colours, design, furniture, lighting, tangible things. And if we get these things right, if we get the right teaching places right, I think we can light a fire in this school. Now this guy is really understated. He takes his glasses off, folds them on the deck, puts them down, and with tears in his eyes he looks at me and he says, this is the most inspiring half hour I've had in this last year. He said, for the first time, I started to look up and not down. I would just like to thank you. So I said, well, look, can I tell you the story of Oasis? So I tell him the story of Oasis. And he said, well, what you don't know is basically I'm a born-again Christian. Life and light. Am I going to speak darkness or am I going to speak light? Am I going to see darkness or am I going to see light? What am I going to see? What am I going to touch? Physically touch. Don't ever spiritualize the gospel. It's touch means touch. So what wall am I going to touch of that building that's going to change something? Yeah? It's really tangible, this stuff. And so often we still think in this sacred secular divide and we spiritualize it. But no, this is a physical wall with physical paint on it. What am I going to physically touch? What am I going to get out my brush to touch, to change, to do something, to change? Do you see what I'm getting? So if you want to be a lifelight, what are you going to physically touch? If people are going to get the gospel, if they're going to get the Jesus coming thing, what physically, I'm not talking emotionally, but I'm talking absolutely physically, what physically are they going to touch? What physically are they going to feel that actually changes their world and their environment? You bring that and you bring life light. You bring that and you bring the incarnation of the Christ. For our faith is not abstract. Our faith is not just ethereal. Our faith is earthed in reality. So every time you go to work and you do your thing, every time you mother or you father or you shop or you park your car, whatever you do, you will bring life light if you will but just see it. Because you are his hands and his feet. Whatever you do, you're a life lighter. But it's hard because the darkness is always trying to put it out. And that's where the battle lies. But there's something about the light coming that is just so beautiful in darkness. Particularly in places of great darkness. When it comes into places of great darkness, it has such impact. I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. I want you to think about your day, your week in front of you. And I want you to imagine this happening to you in your week. And you just put your name in here in the name of John. There once was a man, his name, or a woman, his name was, let's say, I'll do it for me. There once was a man, and his name was Al. He was sent by God to point out the way to the life light. He came to everyone where to look and who to believe in. Al was not himself the light. He was there to show the way to the light. The life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light, and he was in the world. And the world was there through him, yet the world did not even acknowledge him or know that he was there. He came to his own people, but they didn't want him. But whoever did want him, who believed he was who he was, who he claimed he was, well, they became his friends. And they became their true selves. They were released into something. Their child of God selves. And these are the God-begotten kids, not the blood-begotten, or not the flesh-begotten, but they're the God-begotten ones, not sex-begotten. And the Word became flesh and blood, and it moved into the neighborhood. And we now see the glory with our own eyes. The one of a kind glory. Like Father, like Son. Generous inside and out. May generosity be our hallmark. Inside and out. So in this next week, you are being sent by the Father to his only begotten children, to be the lifelight, and to be generous inside and out. And that is the key to your warfare. That is the key to your empowerment, is the generous inside and out thing. For that is the lavish love of the Father. True from start to finish. And Al pointed him out and called, "This is the one I was telling you about. He's ahead of me. He has always been ahead of me and always will be. And I live of his generous bounty." Isn't it wonderful in the message? Now just open your eyes. You live off the generous bounty of the Father. Isn't that just fabulous?